everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Vodka O'Clock. My name is Amber Love. I'm your host, of course. And my website is amberunmasked.com. You can sponsor the show and the site at patreon.com/amberunmasked. And you get inside information on things like my mystery novels and other book projects and comic projects and stuff. So if you become a sponsor that way, you do get to, you know, get a little peek behind the scenes before everybody else. So for now, my first two mystery novels are out, Cardiac Arrest and Full Body Manslaughter. And the third one is on the way, hopefully very soon. So joining me back on the show today is one of my favorite regular guests. Howie Knoll is back. He's celebrating his birthday, and he's doing it here on Vodka O'Clock. So welcome back, Howie.
Thank you for having me. It's the best way to spend my birthday.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's no better way.
There isn't.
So we're going to try to keep Howie on his schedule so that he can get to his birthday cake and enjoy it with the pups. Do the dogs eat birthday cake? Are they allowed?
No, but we'll give them treats. I've decided to go gluten-free, too.
Ooh, okay.
So that's why my gluten-free birthday cake has to be delivered by a special truck from Whole Foods, sadly.
Okay.
Like I'm special.
Aw. Like, that's not so bad, is it?
No.
I happen to, I'm not gluten-free, but I do like some vegan bakeries. They do some magnificent work. But, you know, that's because sugar is still vegan.
That's right. Hey, rum is gluten-free.
There you
go. That's what I learned. I'm getting away with a lot. A lot is gluten-free, so it's just.
Yeah. And there's just some things I overlook.
Yeah.
So you're here, though, and we might, you know, we're going to try to not be too depressing or anything because it's your birthday, but we are here to talk about some depressing shit.
Yes.
Yes, but it's important stuff, and it's comic stuff and autobiography stuff. So do you think you can handle it?
Oh, I can handle it.
Okay.
Doing this project, doing Float has helped, you know, make it more out in the open,
okay.
You know, and it's stuff with anxiety and depression. I think it should be, you know, because that's how it is for, you know, people who deal with it. It's every day, so.
It is every day. So, you decided, a while ago to start this website called yourglassceiling.com. And as you mentioned, the comic title is Float, but it's part of this big multimedia project where you address anxiety and mental health issues. So where did the whole idea come from that it wasn't just going to be, you know, maybe like a one-shot comic, but you took it to like making it this whole big multimedia project and collaborating with musicians and everything?
Yeah, when I started Float, a long time ago, I always had this idea of this is the story I wanted to tell, back when I started doing comics. It was, I always loved that concept of, the glass ceiling and how, you know, the original article. And I thought about the interpretation of, because it's such an important idea in our culture, and, it's something that exists, especially in the professional world. And I, because the best ideas can be reinterpreted, I wanted to reinterpret it for people, who deal with mental illness, because I think they're born under one too. And it's kind of an unshatterable one in a lot of ways with the stigmas that are put upon, you know, them and us. And in this, it's more of a way to visualize it too, so people can see it. And that was just, and one way of making it your glass ceiling for the website was, my wife Shelley and really thought it'd be good to, cause it personalizes it, you know, it's not just about my story or, you know, whatever I've got on. It's also, this website gives people an opportunity to tell us what they're going through. And, you know, overwhelmingly we've gotten, I have been incredibly moved by what people are willing to share and want to share with others. We came up with, breakthrough moments. So if you have a breakthrough moment that you can think help and it'll help, shatter, you know, whatever was stopping you, or even if it didn't, like, I think I learn a lot from my failures.
Right.
You know, when then I couldn't keep control, and I lost it, and I ended up in staying in bed all day. That's what we're getting shared. You know, that's what people are sharing.
I love that, and I love that you invited me to also collaborate and participate too. And so as soon as I get these two books done, that's on my list. But I love that it is, you know, like you said, it's personal, it's inclusive, and you know, it's meant to be more than just, you know, one type of story, because there so many people react differently.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to entertainment, I mean, entertainment doesn't always mean like something's going to make you happy, but the entertainment that we consume, you can face a lot of backlash because it shows one example, mm-hmm. and one type of person or patient or whatever. you know, it could just show one kind of story like that. And in fact, I don't want to watch it, but there's a show on Netflix that's actually there's a couple things on Netflix that are very like romanticizing suicide.
I heard about that. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So, yeah, that's a dangerous topic. You know, it's
right.
Just, it's kind of what we did after Kurt Cobain, you know, killed himself. It was romanticized because he was such a influence, you know. And I think as teenagers, you do that, though, with authors, too. You romanticize Edgar Allan Poe. It's a line you got, it's a crazy line you got to walk. So what I wanted to do was tell this story and also take the responsibility of, instead of that, allowing, I want others to share their story. It's not just, you know, this comic will deal with mine, and everybody deals with it differently, but I think, you know, I've learned there's a lot of common things. So when I say what I go through, my friend deals with, you know, similar issues, and some are harsher than mine, but he was like, I like flying. You know, he's like, I like flying. And I'm like, oh, flying's the worst for me.
Oh, yeah, no, I had a meltdown in the airport. Yeah. No, flying's not my...
Yeah, and he's like, I like flying, ironically. Like, he's okay with it, so, but he can see what I go through, and he can relate to it in other ways, you know? Maybe some people don't like driving, you know?
I love public speaking, and yet if I have to leave my house, I freak out.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
But how am I going to get to that stage?
Exactly. We are full of... These discrepancy, you know, it's funny. Like, I can deal with meeting celebrities for photo ops.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable meeting strangers or calling for Chinese food. No.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't want to do that. I don't. So it's odd, you know, and so I wanted to hear all this kind of stuff. Like, it makes me feel that I'm not alone, and that's the most important thing. I want, with this project, people to know you're not alone, and look how I'm going to use, you know, comics as a medium to show that, to show, you know, it's kind of, I'm, in a way, I wanted anxiety to have a sexiness that they give other things. You know, like, I wanted that. So anxiety in this book, he's going to be his own character, and he's like a evil rock star in a lot of ways that you have to stop.
Right. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about that, about your character design, because there are three main characters, and then are you including yourself as a fourth? You know, I don't know. But there's David, there's the anxiety character, and then there's the worm.
Mm-hmm.
And... so I, you know, when I looked at the anxieties, you know, like his full character sketch, I'm like, well, he's really weird. I always draw mine like just this sort of scribbly, just a scribbly ghost figure, you know, just all made out of black scribbles. And, you know, other people draw it as like a, you know, the big black dog is a cliche.
Right.
So you drew anxiety with like this real personality.
Yeah, he's very, very charismatic. He's a star, you know, and he's also like, he's got a dictatorish vibe. And he wants to, because he's controlling. With me, I really broke him down because why else would I keep giving in? You know, to me. I looked at it, he's gotta be sexy, he's gotta be, have a star quality because he keeps getting me. It keeps, every time, he keeps getting me, so you know?
Yeah, it's sort of like that cult leader thing about him.
Exactly, and he, and it starts out, he's bodiless in the book. He's just a voice inside you, almost like Iron Man has Jarvis, mm-hmm. you know? And you think he's your friend, because he's there for you. That's the way it's getting warped with David and me. It's getting warped because, I mean, when you drive everybody away, you're left with him, you know, in this book. So when I've lost everybody and I've pushed everybody away, who's going to be there for me? Anxiety will be there. And that's what he knows. And, you know, and he makes you feel guilty. And he makes you take the blame. He doesn't want to take the blame because he doesn't believe it's his fault. It's you, you know, and he's going to help you. So it's kind of like, it's kind of done in this weird love affair, mm-hmm. you know.
And David, though, is also the epitome of, like you described, like Hollywood sex symbol type of good looking. And that really shows it can happen to anybody, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, David is my stand-in because I didn't think I wanted to draw myself over and over again. I do draw myself in the book, and you'll see when that breakdown happens that it is me. Yeah, I wanted that. I wanted that, like I said, to add a sex appeal, because that's just the way society is, very superficial, you know? And I'm not just saying that's the way it is, and that's, you know, that's how they market things to us. So, like, when a celebrity, you know, says, oh, I deal with anxiety, do you know how people are like, oh, I feel much better? You do. You do, because you don't think they have any problems. You don't. It's just the way it's been fed to us. So I wanted him to be like, and it's mentioned in the book that you'll like this story. This story will be easier to go down if it's told by me. And I've got abs, and I've got a strong jawline and a perfect hair, you know? And then you'll see he's not, it's not so perfect. It can happen to him, which it does happen to good-looking people, too, of course.
Of course. Well, I mean, but that's just it. Like, you know, Jared Padalecki and Wentworth Miller.
Exactly.
You know, these are some pretty big pop culture stars, and they eventually spoke openly. And sometimes it came, I guess, taking off the mask, so to speak, like Wentworth Miller was getting criticized about his weight and bad photos and stuff like that. So he finally said, you know, like, look, I've had enough. I'm not going to take your crap anymore about me being fat, because here's what I've been going through, and just spelled out all of this tragedy and, you know, this deep depression that he was suffering from. And it's like, and then he got, you know, back on the horse and, you know, now he's in two shows. I mean, you know, like, he's doing
well. Yeah. And that happens to all of us, you know, like, it's a fluctuation, and it's tough when you're exposed to the world, you know? So I can only imagine. We always feel that way, I think. You know, I always feel like people are looking at me and judging, but that's me, doing that. It takes real bravery, and, I've been thanked a lot for doing this, but I just kind of had to, and I hope it inspires people. And at the same time, this, like, it's had to be, because if I'm going through all this and I don't use it as inspiration, it's just, I'm not going to do anything. So I really wanted to transform the negativity into something that people could hopefully relate to and at least enjoy also on a story level.
Well, let me ask you about this creative process, because one of the things that annoys me as a creator is when people just think every bit of advice is going to work. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly not true. Mm-hmm. When, like you were saying, spending a whole day in bed, I've been there many, many, many times. Mm. And I'm not at my computer. I don't even have a notebook in my hand to write things down. Like, I can barely function. So getting up and creating something is not going to happen. And people talk about, you know, oh, you have to bleed on the page, you have to pour it out and put it on the canvas. And I'm like, how? I'm like, I am lucky if I can remember to sip my water so I don't dehydrate. You know, I'm not going to be making something productive.
Right.
And then when I do get back to the desk, it's like I've kind of lost what it felt like. And I'm like, I have to try to now describe this. How do I describe this? When it's like a defense mechanism. My mind's like, no, don't think about that. And don't reconnect to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So how in your process do you, you know, do you have to wait after a certain time before you can get back to the drawing board? Or do you start doodling while you're, you know, in a depressed state? What happens with you?
With this one, you know, the idea of portraying it came over time. So I knew I wanted to show me having an attack in this room, and it's empty and it's kind of looks like it was bombed out and there's only the ceiling overhead to show like an anxiety attack. I had that image. And as it goes forward, I forced myself because I've done a couple graphic novels before and they didn't deal with this really. They didn't. So it's kind of like I had been putting it off. And, I just, after it happened, so, you know, I don't draw when I'm having an attack on a plane. I can't move. So if I was just on a plane, I wasn't thinking about anything creative. It happened as, with this story, I know I need to show he's on a plane. I know I needed to do it. So I went through and I just tried to remember what it was like. So it's almost like when you have, you know, you go to therapy and you recount the things. It's not easy. It takes time.
Yeah.
And then I used different mediums. So if it's the anxiety attack and he's on the plane, it's very scribbly, you know, and that's where the scribbles come in. And that's where, you know, it's not so sexy and it's awful and there's dark colors. And for the other parts, just, I have a very good memory as far as that kind of stuff. And it kind of replays like a movie. But you know, we're getting to the nitty gritty of finishing it, you know, as far as the art. So I've got the big, you know, finale to go through right now and draw, and I'm taking my time with it because it is tough. It's awful, you know, this part where he has to confront the anxiety and we get to the ending of the book. So I've got about 15 pages, and I thought I'd be wrapped up, but I don't want to rush it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we've got the campaign coming up. So I'm trying to take it step by step. It is absolutely brutal to have it happen, and I can't be having an anxiety attack or be riddled with anxiety and create like that. No, I can't. You know, I think this is a form of bleeding a page, but it's almost like maybe you're cutting back the wound open. Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah, that was
like picking a scab.
Yeah, picking the scab off.
I can do that. I can do that.
That's way more relatable to me than trying to do something in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's just not going to happen. Like, I need to figure out how to be a human.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Exactly. And there's no way, no, I'm not here, you know, drooling as I'm, you know, cradling myself and drawing. I can't. That's what I do in between. So, yeah, no, I can't do that. It's more recounting what is happening, you know, and saying, oh, I want, this has to go in there. We have to mention this. And also I've been, you know, I work with, Shelley helps a lot keep me honest and with the book. And so does my friend who I'm collaborating with, Victor Kess, the musician. He's doing the musical part. He really, I share, pages with him, you know, and always, and he keeps me honest because there's a fudging and he'll mention it, you know, cause it's a personal story. And that's why there is the David character and the worm and anxiety. I hide behind those. In the book, which it'll all get broken down in the end to reveal, but that's how I felt more comfortable, you know, by creating like a fictionalized version. He looks nice and you can see that. And then you'll see me in the book. So my main thing was to be really honest, and it's hard. It's very hard to reveal this much, but it's already helped people. So that encourages me to keep telling. You know, I don't want to overshare because we're in the age of that. But at the same point, what's the point of this if I'm going to not be honest and I'm not going to share what it's really like? That would be a disservice.
Well, in what way were you maybe not being honest that they, you know, that Shelley and Victor would pull you back on track? Were you exaggerating too far in one direction, or were you just not opening up the way that they remember?
Yeah, I think not opening it up, you know, not, maybe not diving enough in, maybe glossing over the fact a bit. So we got to dive in and add more illustrations about it, you know?
Okay.
And we don't want to, I want to keep it real to the fact that, I wanted there to be hope in the book, but I also don't want people to feel betrayed because I've been told, you know, many people have said, oh, I beat anxiety. And I'm like, that's a hell of a thing because I don't see me beating anxiety. I think I can win sometimes. I think I can win often and I think I can try, but that's the message of this book. Like, it's not going to be, you can beat anxiety and then your life's magically going to be better. Cause to my story, that's a disservice. So I'm not going to show that, but I want to show hope, you know, I do still believe in hope. So that's what we're going to try to convey. And it's not going to be, but if there's no, happy, I want there to be a happy ending in a way, but you'll know that he can come again in a way.
Well, yeah, we definitely live in a difficult time, because so many people, it's like you've said, there's sharing and then there's, I think, a little bit of a false sense of having your own safety bubble.
Yeah.
Because then there's always people who are not in your bubble that find out stuff.
Yeah.
And that tends to be what happens, especially with the transgender community. It's the rate of, you know, things like self-harm and depression. And there's been several news articles now about how it's like a worldwide epidemic. It's like the number one health issue. You know, it's not AIDS anymore. It's not blood pressure. It's, you know, it's not cancer. It's mental health.
Yeah, yeah. And just for, like, when I was doing this research and I put it on the site and, you know, that over 40 million just have suffer from anxiety alone. You know, the anxiety disorder. So that's just one, you know? And I know it's relatable. I know part of what I have is relatable to people because I know everyone has had anxiety. Everyone. They just don't have what I have where it's all the time.
They don't have a disorder about it.
Right. Yeah. No, but they've been scared of somebody at school. They've had somebody at their job that makes them stay up all night. You know, they've had a test they don't like. So just explaining it in this way is it's a test that I'll never take, but I'm afraid of it. It makes me afraid of something that could not happen. So that's, you know, what I want to convey. And I think since people can relate to a little form of it, I want them to see what it's like for these people in their lives that they might know or friends. So, you know, they must have a son. They must have a daughter. They have a friend or like an ex they lost and they wanted to know why they acted this way. Hopefully this will provide some answers, you know, in a graphic novel kind of format.
Right. In a safe way and a private way, because people can just, you know, read, you know, off on their own. And you brought up, you know, about the anxiety for flights and, you know, flying and how, not my thing either.
Yeah.
I like being in one place and then getting to another.
Right.
Are there issues that you have where it just seems like no reason at all?
Yeah, I'll get that. Yeah, it's not just on flights, it's at home, you know, and I'll be like, oh, where's that thing? Oh, you need that. It's even stupid. It's even shopping related where I'm like, oh my God, where'd that thing go that you used to have? You better look for it now.
I hate supermarkets.
Yeah, yeah.
Supermarkets are like my version of like the end of purgatory getting into hell. Like, I just hate shopping like that.
And it'll cause me to remember, oh, did I say the wrong thing to my friend last week? Is that why? Is he acting like that? You know, is he judging me right now because of that? Have I hurt him? And I'll, you know, and I mean, that's.
I stew about things from like fifth grade.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know.
And embarrassment. Like, I'm still embarrassed about something that happened in high school. Always, you know, and I still relive it. They're not thinking about it, though. They're not thinking about it. And that's anxiety doing it, you know, and that's, Yeah, why think about something that happened, like, in high school that I don't even know. And it's like you live it right now. You're reliving it. Like, we have that ability to literally time travel in some way to where, it's just like you're there. It's the same.
Well, and that's why, like, you know, Facebook and the internet and stuff can make things, like, really difficult.
Oh, yeah. Here's your memories. Yeah. But
it's like, gee, thanks.
I know. And it's that recoil and that just that living the shock and trauma. It's taken me a long time, and I'm only realizing now, you know, the level of abuse that you go through. You know, because I never wanted to say the word abuse or anything. You know, I don't know. There was something in me. But, you know, when you think about it, it's abuse you're going through. And it's, in a lot of ways, it's your own mind doing it. So you're hurting yourself. And when you start to think about it that way, then hopefully it'll calm down. But even though I do, you know, I'll do the walks, you do the exercises, the breathing exercises, sometimes it wins out. And I just want people to know that it's okay. You know, I can't win completely. I can be calmed down if somebody says, hey man, you're doing that thing. That helps. Mm-hmm. That does help. You know, that helps me if you remind me, oh, you're kind of going out there. That does help me. And at the same time, maybe I can't stop it. So, it's a tough thing that, you know, we deal with. It's tough. And I think anxiety's on the zeitgeist right now. A lot of people have anxiety. And you see it. You see it in headlines. You see it in everybody's Facebook posts. And you also see, you know, I wanted to, you know, deal with that we're all under this thing, you know, that we can, but you can make cracks in it, you know. So in the book, you'll see cracks start to form and what's stopping us. And I think that's good. So that's what we wanted to do with the site. We wanted to show, hey, these little things, they're helping people. If you get, some people send in more paragraphs, you know, and I'm just like, my God, I thought, you know, you do that thing where you want to play down what you have then. Oh my God, I don't even deserve to feel this way, which is another form.
It is. Like, we do not need
to. I don't even deserve to complain.
Yeah, we don't need to compete for, you know, who's more depressed.
Right, right.
Who's more anxious. I find that sometimes we can, people can tend to feel that way because I've read my friends' posts and stuff. And, you know, when I want somebody to know, I'm there with you. I feel you. I've been through this too. I don't want it to seem like I'm making this about me.
Exactly.
Like, you're going through something right now. Hope you're okay. You know, it's really hard to just be like, I want you to know that it's relatable and not come off like a dick.
Right, right. And that's the thing about this book. We wanted to, and Victor always reminded me because I pushed a lot of stuff into the songs he's doing because stuff I don't want to put in the book in a way, you know, like, 'cause it's very wordy. And so we have a lot of ideas in that. And he goes, no, this is your story. He always reminds me, this is your story we're telling. So, because a lot of the ways, you know, I lose sight of that. But we want to tell this one. And it's going to be my tale. And then hopefully it'll help. That's why I have the website so other people can join in and tell me things they go through. So we have that. Somebody said it was like she was glad she found a support system, which amazed me. It was the first week we launched. So,
wow.
Yeah, so every week I post a new page from the book, and then we have additional blogs. We have one from Shelley coming up that I thought was personally brutal. It's very honest, and it's about being with somebody who has it, me. You know, and yeah, I was like, right. Oh, I had friends read it. I'm like, I had Victor read it. So I was like, how do you feel about this? Because I would be like, we're going to edit that. But and he was like, no, it's her gift to you. This is her gift because she's saying what it's like. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll put that up there. So that's my most bravest step is allowing that, you know. So that'll be coming up in next week. So that's one to read about on the website. And because I want other people who deal with, you know, that have relatives and stuff, I want them to see this is why. This is what it is. This is why the person acts this way. It's maybe why they pushed you away or why you pushed them away.
Yeah, I love that because I've read some really, like, terrible pieces that end up on, you know, like, pretty major websites or magazines and stuff, and it makes the person sound like a complete asshole. Like, you know, and it's like, it's cringing, and, but it's, you know, like you said, even though it's your site, you're giving up some control and letting other people's words and stories come out. And that's, you know, and that's stuff that, like you said, you're already releasing things every week. So you're going to be doing a Kickstarter, and how are, you know, I was thinking about rewards and the bonuses and all that stuff that gets unlocked, all that Kickstarter campaign stuff.
The goodness. The good stuff.
So it's like, so you're already doing so much for free.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm hoping people will be like, now let's go help this guy. He's giving so much.
So what are you going to include? Like, what's in the campaign and stuff?
Well, we've got, so a lot of float deals with this in the storyline before it breaks through and then you see me, you know? So this quote unquote storyline, and is it that David has his doctor suggests you come to this island and we're going to do some experimental treatment, and this island has powers. This island is magic and it'll help you with your anxiety, and we'll just have all kinds of, you know, it'll be so fun to get away. But in reality, what the island does is shows him what the truth is. And I don't like to see the truth often. I don't, you know, and anxiety creates a lot of stories for me. So he gets to see that he's not real. I'm real. And that anxiety is ruining his life and stuff. So the breakthrough, we have a lot of play with the island. So, you know, so you have island packages. We'll be having coasters and napkins. So it's like you go to the hotel and you get these souvenirs. So you get some resort souvenirs with a map. We're also going to have,
funny.
Yeah, so it's like a vacation package.
Like steal your towel.
Exactly, stuff you took from there. That's the Destino reward. Because the resort is, it's the island of Destino.
Just, okay.
The book is a big reward. The book and CD. We're also going to have digital downloads because, you know, a lot of people don't like physical media.
Right.
I still do. And then I took a survey of friends, and they still like CDs for their cars and stuff. So we'll have the CD available by Victor. We'll have anxiety shirts. Anxiety in the book has a symbol that he talks through. And it's like a superhero symbol, almost like an X-Men kind of thing. So it shows up whenever he talks or whenever he's pounding at the wall. So we're going to have shirts of that. We'll have, I'll be doing social media portraits in the float book art style. So it'll say I float, and then it'll be a drawing of you if you want to do that. And, we also have a cool Kickstarter reward that I'm looking at, make happen. I just got to get I'm taking this next 2 weeks to make sure the pricing's okay. In the book, a big part of David, when he first has his big anxiety attack that really kind of shatters the world, where you see me for the first time, is he's also an artist. He's tried to get published. He can't. He receives a rejection letter and a message in a bottle that washes up to him on the island. Now, that would flip you out. I mean, that was a good enough reason for him to have a breakdown for me in the story. And to me, I've had numerous problems with publishing, and it has caused me hell, I would say. It's caused me hell. So he gets a rejection letter, and you can get that rejection letter, too, in a message in a bottle. So we're just looking at getting plastic bottles. So everybody can have their own, and we'll make them to you. So you'll have
his
letter. You'll have his version of the rejection letter from the publisher that he submitted, but it'll be your name at the top.
That's a nice little collectible, though. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and then hopefully it doesn't cause you to have an attack like I get.
Yeah, I get enough, like, real rejection from pitches.
Exactly, but this will be a fun one, which I think you'll know. It's actually very truthful. It's over the top, and there's a lot of humor. There's still humor in the book, you know, but it's even in the rejection letter, but it's very, like, biting and truthful. Because my editor Leia was like, "Are you sure you want this on in the book? Will you be blackballed?" I think I'm like, "I'm already in my thing." I don't think you can get any further out than I am. So I was like, "No, we got to do it." That's kind of the honesty, you know, where you kind of have a worry like, "Should you put this in?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Isn't that what art's supposed to be?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
So,
and yet it gets people in trouble all the time.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. But that's why we're on Kickstarter though. And and another thing, so the big stretch goal I want, we're gonna have an achievable goal, so it'll be soft cover, and then we're gonna have the big stretch goal, and it would be a hard cover if we can raise the money. So that's what I'd like. It'd be like kind of in Europe, their books are all nice hardcover.
Right. You know?
And it'll be a larger format, and that's kind of what I want to go for. So it would be an exclusive edition just for Kickstarter backers. So if we can do it, it would be really cool. That'd be a cool, you know, collectible too.
That's good. I really like the little, just the customized avatars. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, and another idea I have that we'll be doing is I can draw your mental illness. If you'd like.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, so it'll be like my version. I don't know if they'll be as sexy as anxiety, but if you tell me it's sexy, then yes. I'll do whatever you want.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Now, are you like putting limitations on this that you don't get burdened? Because I did notice some people really thought they could handle their Kickstarters, and then when they realized, I now have to draw 200 sketches. They didn't realize, like, I should have put a limit on that.
Yeah, I guess if we get that, I can do it, you know? I guess if we can do that.
All right, so what are the dates that the Kickstarter is running?
The Kickstarter is going to run from May 1st, and then for 30 days, which I'm guessing is probably June 1st. I don't know. I got to count that up. See, I'm setting it all up this week, you know, where they actually give you the full date. But
nice. But
it'll be running all of May. That's simple for people, I guess. Yeah, all of May. Because it's 31 days in May. So we'll go for May 31st. It'll end.
What other inspirations have you had? Have you done, have you gone through other people's books on anxiety or mental illness and found inspiration? Or do you generally avoid that because you deal with enough?
Yeah, I can't like the books, quote unquote, like self-help books are tough for me, you know, to read. I get handed a lot, and it's very tough for me to, because I'm surrounded, like you said, I'm surrounded by a lot of time, but therapy has helped, you know, so my therapy sessions that I did with the one doctor has helped a lot. He was really good, so a lot of that always inspired me to tell this story, because, and then seeing that other people would talk about it, you know, like you share it all the time. So I was like, oh, I can share too. You know, I can share too. I feel more comfortable sharing. And, I really got inspired by also The Mighty on Facebook. I don't know. That's a cool page.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're sort of like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
They're like Upworthy. One of those
meme
places.
They meme. They make memes.
Yeah. They meme things.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for those kind of memes. You know, that if they're good, I like them. My friend Patrick has been very influential. I call him if there's something, you know, or if you run into somebody. It's like if you have it, other people are kind of attracted to you with it, you know, and then you realize, oh, they don't just have anxiety. They have something else, and I don't know what it is. So I always talk to him. I was also, like, there's huge influence on here because I was always a fan of, like, Pink Floyd's The Wall, and I feel that deals with mental illness a lot. And so music like that talks about it in an open way and can make it so it's artistic, inspired me to do this. I loved books like Mouse, which is a true story, you know, and it's something that he, you know, his family went through. So, you know, Art Spiegelman, like, just telling.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I always liked, and I like telling those stories. And I think using comics to do that is something that's not done enough, you know, that I feel. It definitely doesn't get main, like, they're not going to make a Hollywood blockbuster of that kind of thing, but I think that's important because that's about the art. That's about the medium.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just, because usually it's comic.
Yeah.
A lot of people stick too much with the comedy part of their life. Like, even if something bad happens, they'll turn it into a joke thing.
Yeah.
Like, ha ha ha, look at me. But then, you know, like you said, there's things like Mouse that are out there. I loved Ellen Forney's graphic novel, Marbles.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just, I mean, it was, you know, just like you're saying, it was deep. And her pages really reflect the changes, you know, like one page would be nice and neat and laid out, and then she'd have like one page that was just like words in a spiral.
Right.
And, like, it really, really was reflective.
Yeah, and that's along these lines, too, absolutely. I wanted to do, I did more playful stuff when I did my first book, Mr. Scoodles, with the sequential art. And I really wanted to go back on this one and show people what I can do. Because if you're going to do it, this is the one to do it on. And playing with the panels, playing with, sometimes these pages just, it's a two-page spread just because of what's being portrayed. Sometimes it's a single page, you know. Sometimes it becomes almost like a picture book at the end because we're getting into the big show. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the comics, they don't do that because they're very, they're corporate. And honestly, they just want to pump it out. And you pay it and you go make a movie. You know, and I wanted to do something where I know about the medium. I know about the art form. And I want to show what I can do with it. You know, almost like, because this is the most important story I'm going to tell. So I want to do it right.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the big corporate stuff, you know, like Marvel properties and things like that, it's they might write something into a character so that you know, you can detect that there's something about them, but it's not going to be what the story's about. Like, a lot of people will talk about that Tony Stark had PTSD or that Jessica Jones had PTSD or addiction problems.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, but then if you sit through an episode, it's about punching somebody.
Exactly.
You know, it's not really the same.
Yeah, yeah, and I felt that, like, I put a lot of myself, like, in Terranormal, you know, but at the same time, that story is about punching things. And it's about ghosts and some, you know, some blood and stuff. And so
exactly.
Yeah, you can get me out of that. And it's very, everything I did was very personal. But I think this is by far, of course, the most personal thing. And I really want people to feel like they get, hope, you know, if I do my job right, you get it. You get what I went through. You get a little bit of what it's like. And you still read a cool story, you know. And hopefully when you reach the end, you'll want to go ahead and check it out again and flip back and kind of see how it goes again. And then listen to the music while you do it. You know, I really wanted it to be this neat thing where you sit down in a room and maybe you read it first without the music and then you try it with the music and it opens up a whole new thing.
When it comes to the Kickstarter project, you're focusing on the printing, like you said, the soft cover or hardcover, hopefully the hardcover.
Hopefully the hardcover, right, guys? Hopefully the
Are you handling all that distribution yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I always do it myself. We've done two other successfully funded Kickstarter campaigns, so I'm two for two with Terranormal. And we send them all out. And, yeah, I'm going to, as of now, unless it hits viral, you know, which is just a thing. So if it gets out of control, I'll get a company.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you had approached anybody, like one of the smaller press comics places, and said, look, you know, if this gets funded, would you handle the printing and the preview?
Oh, yeah.
And whatever?
No, we're going to do it all because I know what I want. You know, I know specifically what I want. So it's so personal. It'll be coming straight from me. So everything will be handled by, I answer all the questions. So if you send one, it's me. I'll be, as of right now, shipping all of it. If we hit over the, if we hit the hardcover goal and it gets out of stream, yeah, then I'd probably contact somebody. But, yeah, I usually handle everything myself and all the shipping for all better or worse. Going to the local post office. It'll be all me packing everything. Yeah.
Well, that's quite the undertaking.
It sounds
so stressful.
Yeah, I think we're going to go for a third time's the charm. And then I keep telling my wife, this is the last Kickstarter. I think this, you know, but then you get an idea for another one.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's another idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but as of now, I really want to go, I want to, you know, do this one justice. And my wife will be helping pack the little messages in the bottles. I'm sure she'll help with that. She
right.
does.
Right, right. And I love, you know, and you take the like progress photos, and you know, you have all that behind the scenes goodness and stuff.
Yeah, we had an art weekend. We had an art retreat, and we went up to Victor's so he could show me the recording process. And he was always really good with documenting as soon as he became a part of it behind the scenes. And on this one, I really wanted to, yeah, document this from the beginning, you know. So when the site launched, we were in the beginning of the project. Even though I had been drawing it since last April. And then had the idea since 2006, probably. And that back then it only began as poetry. So they were just poems. So there's a little bit of poems still in the book. So we wanted to document as much as possible so people would have behind the scenes, kind of like what Kickstarter offers with the updates. But now instead of, you know, clogging you with updates through Kickstarter, which your spam filter sometimes eats, you know, just sometimes people don't see the Kickstarter.
True.
You can go to this website and you can see a full making of. And it's a way to document the whole process. Plus, we started doing those little animations. I don't know if you saw the animated teaser trailers. They're just really cool. And it's just a whole nother,
yeah,
it's a whole nother aspect to show to this project. So they'll be all on the Kickstarter page. We'll have a couple new animated teasers that, Victor just made music for. And one really good one on Paxil. Because Paxil gets, there's a little writing on Paxil in the book.
Oh boy, Paxil and I are not.
No, we fell out. I know, we fell out. So, I'll show that to you I just got it in. And I'll be putting that one up soon. So I think you'll like it. The Paxil page is very
There was, did you watch the show called Happy-ish?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I can't remember what network it's on. It might have been from Showtime or something.
Yeah.
But there's this this one episode where there's an interlude that she breaks, like she's so sick of her kid, watching Frozen, like, on repeat, and he dresses up in Elsa's dress and wants to wear Elsa's dress everywhere. And so she has other kids over, and they all want to play Frozen. And so she just starts to, like, really snap. And so in her mind, she starts, like, her own musical and singing, and she's wearing, like, an Elsa dress and stuff, and she's singing this whole song about Klonopin. Oh my god! And I just lost it when I saw that.
Yeah, it's similar along those lines. And what I did for that page, for one of the Paxil pages, was to go back to the old. I used to want to do when I was a kid. I loved comic strips, you know. And it's kind of a medium that they basically killed with the newspaper. There are still really good ones,
sure.
But it's not like how it was. And so this is like an old school kind of comic strip page. So I got to do that art style again. And it's about Paxil and how it didn't really change much towards the end. You know, in the beginning, I think I thought it was, and then it just kind of made me blue. So the worm deals with Paxil. So when we talk about the worm is, what you can do the most embarrassing things to. He's like, you know, he's like a little worm and he has butterfly wings until they light on fire. And, he's this sad, sad little creature.
He's really sad.
He is.
He's so sad to look
at. I know.
At.
So, and he's naked.
And he's just, you know, and he's got like these dangly arms and legs and just mopey.
He's so sad. He's really sad, and then he gets mowed down. And then he puffs back up. So, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, I think the inner essence.
He's
sad, right? It's sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, you came up with the name The Worm to begin with, so that automatically evokes this imagery.
Yeah.
But then you gave him wings anyway.
I know, he had wings until he fell in love, and then he burned.
Then they
burn up. And I always love worms, I don't know why, I save worms. So, you know, and it's raining, this is sick, this is really sad. I don't even think people from PETA do this. If I see a worm on the sidewalk, I save it wearing rain. Isn't that, that's kind of sad. I mean, cause that's just a circle of life for them to get dried out. But I'll be like, hey buddy, and I'll pick him up and put him in the dirt.
No, some people do that with bugs.
That's too much empathy, I think.
I don't. I don't intentionally squish worms, but if there's like a bug on me, forget it.
That's different. They gotta go.
Bug in the room? No, like no, especially if it's in the room.
Yeah, I think that's different. That's your house. You got to protect your house. That's an invader at that point. That's a break-in.
Yeah, it's like they're called pests for a reason.
I think they're burglars. I think you know. I think there should be you should be able to have a bug 911 if you have bugs in your house.
I basically have.
Yeah.
I mean, was it last year? Yeah, I think it was last year or the year before. We had exterminators out 4 times because of different things, trying to figure out what the hell was going on with my skin, which turned out to be anxiety.
Oh.
Plus, it was one of those perfect storm things where if I'm allergic to something, then I start getting worked up about
it.
So it just makes it worse.
Yep.
You know, like a wasp nest.
No, that's bad.
Growing.
No, that's like, gotta go.
Like right outside the window and stuff like that. And then the stink bugs, like in Jersey, we have these stink bug problems. And they just, you know, I was catching like 10, 15 a day.
They're everywhere in Maryland, too.
Oh, gross.
When I live there. I haven't gotten them here in New Jersey yet. I have been lucky. No stink bugs yet. But in Maryland, we got them all the time. And they are literally stink, so if anybody doesn't know.
Yeah, and they just dive bomb you. They sound like little helicopters. And, like, you can just picture them. They just, like, when they land on you, they're so heavy that you feel the thud.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
And do you have noise sensitivity, too?
Yeah.
I have that really bad, so sometimes my turtle, she doesn't do it anymore. She would just pound at the glass, splashing.
Oh.
And that would drive me, like, literally mad. It would drive me.
Yeah, I was just talking about that on Twitter, about how it really depends on what the noise is. Like my TV on, first of all, control the volume and what it is, but it's two people talking. But somebody in another room talking on their telephone will drive me up a wall.
Yeah, yeah. And certain voices, certain level of voices I can't handle.
Ever since
I was a kid, I can't handle a certain pitch. And repetitiveness. And that, I talk about that a little bit in the book, and that, so that when that pounding, what I'm trying to symbolize, and this is like a deep read, like you'd have to know me to know this, but when I have the anxiety symbol pulsing, it looks like that's from that.
Okay.
That's what that symbolizes to me. I can't handle the thumping. We used to have neighbors that would step on our head in the condo. I can't handle it. Like, I can't.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You'd love, my neighbors were jackhammering all day yesterday.
It's brutal.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it's bad enough when I'm talking to people in New York City, and they just tune that out. It's like, they hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't. I'm like, how do you put up with that? How do you put up with the honking and the jackhammering and all that stuff? Like, if a car goes by, I tense. I'm like, I can hear that car engine, and I tense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some things that just flip me out, and I think they always will. I don't think there's any way to. There's no way to stop.
But yet, in a car, if I'm in a car, I'll go to sleep, which makes driving a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. I like falling asleep in cars. I would always do that.
Yeah.
Now I drive. So now I can't fall asleep in cars. Now that I drive.
Yeah. No. Somebody's big ass loud monster truck going by the house, though, that just gets on my nerves. But yeah, so I totally understand the tapping and stuff like that. It's like water dripping. Ugh.
I don't have the chewing. I don't have that problem when people chew. Some people just have the chewing noises they don't like. See, I don't have that though. So luckily, I try to think of the things I don't have to make me feel a little better.
Do you have issues with things touching your skin, like fabric? Because that's become a really bad thing for me.
Certain clothing.
Yeah, I have to wear, like, the softest things I can find.
Yeah, there was one sweater that Shelly got me. I can't wear it. I don't know. I can't wear it. It's too harsh or something.
Yeah. I mean, because I'll start shredding off my skin. And I pick up, you know, like, at my hair, I pick at my eyebrows. Like, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
It's just, yeah, it is. It's just like, well, it's just one more stupid thing. Like, if there was a checklist, I would need, like, I need another page.
That's what I'll come out with next, a checklist for us. That'll be my next Kickstarter. We'll do a checklist book.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where my, it's so funny, my ex-husband, it's not that he didn't like the show Monk, but he didn't think it was funny. He thought that it was mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this isn't a comedy. This is, they're always making fun of him. And, you know, it's like Monk would be, have to fill out a thing of his phobias, and he'd be like, I need another sheet.
Yeah. I really like the Star, you know, I love Star Wars, of course. It's, you know,
of course.
I walked around Florida this past weekend in all Star Wars stuff for the convention.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah, I was there for Friday, and I'm sorry if this makes people upset, but I actually love Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker. I know there's a lot of haters.
Well, I don't blame him for it at all.
No. But his portrayal is very, I think that character has mental illness, and I really do, and I think he deals with anxiety, you know, and you have to, that's just how I enjoy it. Like, I, you know, read a lot into it, you know, but he does things that, like, he fears death that's not coming. He has dreams about death. And he wants to save her. And it's very like a fairy tale kind of way of playing with anxiety, you know? Mm-hmm. And he goes to the dark side, but at least he gets that cool outfit, you know? Like at least he gets to become Darth Vader. But I always look for stuff like that in movies, you know? I'm always drawn to the dark characters and stuff. And I start to notice it more. I think some people were kind of upset with Split, but I liked the movie. But it was kind of over the top. It was over the top. Did you see it? It's the one with personalities. And then people were saying some doctors were against it. But I'm like, I didn't get offended by it. You know, I didn't get offended because he, well, if I reveal what happened to be a spoiler. But I don't get offended by stuff like that. I get offended like, I don't know if they portray it as you're going to kill somebody all the time. Like, that was a horror movie, so of course he's going to. One of his personalities are going to be evil. But.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that would explain why I didn't.
Yeah, it's like by the guy's Sixth Sense. It's the first movie by the guy that made Sixth Sense that's been good since, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had a panic attack during Signs. So.
Oh, you can't see this one. No. But that was very panic-inducing, so I guess that's what the movie wanted to do.
Yeah, it is. He's great at that.
The little hand. Was it a little alien hand under the door?
I don't even remember which part it was. I just remember like freaking out and like just that I was, you know, it's one of those things where it's like in the movie theater, no less, like not even privately. In the movie theater,
I had that. I had that happen. Guess what? I had that happen during Civil War. What the hell? I can't even enjoy that. So I had to watch it at home and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I just was like trying, like froze myself so that I wouldn't move.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all these tears are running down my face. And I'm like, I wasn't even sure if I was breathing.
Yeah, I can't move. I can't move when I do. I lock my, I like cover my mouth. Really weird. I do that on flights too. And I didn't like the movie. And it was only because of the panic attack. So when I watched it at home, I was like, oh yeah, everybody's right. It is good. But it can totally warp your experience, you know, of anything. It's a ruiner. This is what it is. It's just a ruiner. You know, you pay $10 and then I don't even like it. I can't even enjoy myself at the movies. That has stopped. So I haven't, luckily it stopped. But yeah, it went from planes to movies and I was like, no, you can't do that to movies. It's like the.
Yeah, I've cried in the movies quite a bit. And yet it depends. Like, it's there and it's in the dark. So I already feel like there's a sense of protection going on. Like, nobody's going to see me. But if I'm somewhere else, like it's happened in bars and stuff, I'll go running and I'll just like run for a door. And I ended up in a closet one time. And
I've done literally the same thing. I ran out of a bar into the woods. There was woods and I felt like the wolf man or something.
Yeah. It's like, that's usually my thing. And it's like, it's harder when you're in a store because it's like, do I leave all my shit here? Do I just go? And then it's like, I can't make a decision. So this is another nightmare. Like, you know, don't ask me to, you know, choose something.
Yeah, I like to have things chosen for me, and I like to have people call food in for me.
That's exactly what I do. I'm like, you're going to make me call? I'm like, no, I'm not calling.
Yeah, I know. I make Shelly do so much stuff. It's horrible.
Yeah, I know. I do the same thing. I'm like, no.
She's like, you can call, and I'm like, I don't know.
Or if it's got online ordering, like, thank heavens for online ordering.
That I can do. That I can do in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no. Like, you know, for like the phone rings, and I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know.
I would tell you, like, I like when the nightmare scenarios happen, so I did go to the Star Wars convention, and I don't know why, with my photo ops, like, the ones I bought, the two I ordered myself, Shelly, the one she ordered was fine. The two I ordered, when they rang them, you know, when they keyed them in, like, yeah. No, this is invalid. I about lost my shit, so to say. The medical term was losing my shit. Because yeah, you're in line, you've just waited in line for an hour.
Yeah.
You get there and they're like, no, you can't get this. But then they did let me because I had the confirmation email and stuff. But it's just one of those things. It's like, really?
Oh, that sucks.
Really?
Well, that's, you know, that's, imagine those poor folks on that flight, though, where they, you know, they bought their tickets and then were told to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were offering them money. See, the guy that got caught, the last guy, he was smart. He knew they would attack him.
Oh my god, that was just terrible.
Yeah, it is. They should never have done that. They should have picked another volunteer. Who didn't want to volunteer after seeing that? I'd be like, I'll go. Just don't hurt any more of us. Because usually people take the money. I mean, I think they were waiting for 1,000. They stopped it. I heard they stopped it. It's like nobody knows the real story, too. It's the weirdest thing ever in the age of everybody knowing everything. Nobody knows, like...
It's a huge inconvenience. I mean, if you were there and, you know, depending... I don't even know what city it was. But it's like, say it was Boston. Some of those hotels are like $500 a night.
Yeah, I guess they were going to offer to cover it. But nobody wanted to go. Once you're on a plane, you want to go. And what they wanted was the seats for their own employees.
Right. So. And that guy was like that they hauled off was a doctor. It's like, so he doesn't need to go back to his job? I mean, come on.
But he was also a former championship poker player. Did you know that?
Really? No.
He won. Okay, so he was a doctor. This is fun. I know this is a little diversion, but maybe this will go viral. So he was, because I read TMZ faithfully. He got suspended before for trading prescriptions for sex.
Okay.
Then he was reinstated, so he's a doctor again. Now none of this is a reason for you to shove his face into the armrest.
Exactly. But they don't know that.
And I'm sure their private investigators dug this stuff up, so people would go, "Oh, you deserve to pummel him," which is not true. But then when he was suspended, he became a championship poker player, and he won over $200,000 on the professional circuit. So of all people to try to gamble with. Thinking he wouldn't put a fuss when you forcibly remove him from the plane, that was probably the wrong guy.
Yeah, because poker players know how to read body language.
And he said, well, reportedly he said, I'm going to sue all you, before they pulled him. And he's,
oh, wow.
I mean, you know it. You can see dollar signs sometimes. I think he knew.
Well, of course.
But you don't shove his face into the armrest repeatedly until he's bloody and then drag him out.
Yeah, that guy, I mean, he was, like, the photos are devastating. Like, they're awful.
Watch.
And then the videos.
Now, how come nobody volunteered? I mean, at that point, I would have said, hey, when he started screaming, I'd be like, you can have my seat. I really would, because I can't handle this screaming.
Well, that's just it. So you don't want the confrontation.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done.
I guess we would have had to have been there. I'm glad I'm not. I don't fly United, so I'm always a Southwest person.
Well, there's usually, like, no choice. Like, there's, like, two airlines.
I know. I like Southwest, even though, because you pick your own seat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they have a little heart in their logo. And they have a little heart.
Aww.
The Care Bears.
That's so cute. We have to find our comfort where we can. I use Instagram. I look at cat pictures.
I look at pugs. Yeah.
Cats and dogs, yeah. There's a couple cute dogs on there. There was, like, this ridiculously ginormous, I don't know what kind of, he looked like he was a mix between, like, a mastiff and something else. And apparently he's, like, viral and Instagram famous and whatever. And
I'm killing myself to get a Kickstarter and these dogs are famous.
These dogs are famous. And it's just, like, this dog has this smile on his face, like this big, ginormous head with this big, dopey smile with how happy he is. It's so cute. But yeah, I look up cat pictures. And that's why, like, Instagram, I don't usually have comic book people on there. Because I'm like, I see all your shit on every other website. Like, Instagram is my therapy.
Yeah, I try to share pug pictures. And yeah. I do keep it mostly to art on Instagram. I don't get it yet, because I'm pretty new to it. So I don't get that you can share everything. Some people are better at that. Because that's what I do on Facebook. You know, the whole, where do you share stuff? It's this whole thing, this whole balance. Like, I'm like, yeah. Do I tell my whole life on, I don't know. I think a lot of people use Instagram more than anything else, though, now.
I don't know. I can't keep up with the kids.
I know.
Forget it.
I know, and now it's my birthday today. I'm even older than the kids.
I mean, like, you know, once the White House starts using Snapchat, you know, it's not cool anymore.
Dude, I had Snapchat just to have it so I could have my name on it.
Oh,
I downloaded it and I'm like, I never took a picture, but I used the filters. I flipped through them and was like, I had bunny ears, but I didn't actually take a picture with it.
Oh, no. I don't think I can fit another thing on my phone. It's so, I'm late to Instagram too. I haven't been on there that long.
Yeah.
But it's mostly pictures of the cats and my books. It'll be like once in a while, I'll be like, oh yeah, I should promote something.
Yeah. I know you should. So people should check us out.
Yeah. And it's like, every once in a while, I'll remember that. I'll be like, oh yeah, I have a website I should tell people about.
Exactly. You can post this podcast. You can post a picture saying this podcast is happening.
I do. That's the one thing that Instagram lacks, is that you can't put links into the caption.
Yeah, you know what? You have to say link is in my bio. And you have to change your bio link every time.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not doing
that. I have to do that on Kickstarter. My Instagram is going to be real exciting for Kickstarter. It's going to be all images of Kickstarter.
Yeah, and that's when people will start on Twitter. Like, they don't post anything, and then all of a sudden they're running a Kickstarter, and it's like every 15 minutes there's another Kickstarter post. Or they contact you out of the blue when you've never heard of them before.
Yeah.
Like, could you RT my Kickstarter? And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, I found a nice balance with that. Like, because I know what it's like. So, yeah, that's everybody should be ingrained. That's why I started the website. There we go. Bring it all around. That helps ingrain you this project's coming. Because you know what? With the algorithm, with Facebook, they block things that say Kickstarter. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, my nightmare is in June, somebody goes, when's your Kickstarter?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, so hopefully I've pounded it enough that people are like, it's coming. May 1st, it's coming. We're going to do this.
Yeah, Facebook's only showing people like 5% of their stuff.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, and it's crazy. It's crazy that if you think you're doing too much, it's really not. It's really not, and if somebody wants to block you because you're sharing a project you care about, you know, then like, they can.
Then
they
just
can.
Mute them.
Yeah, but I don't message people I've never met. I don't add people I've never met to go message them. I never would do that. It's kind of appalling to me. I've had that happen to me, where they friended me and then immediately were like, hey, can you check out my Kickstarter? I'm like, really?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, sometimes I will. I'll be, you know, because they'll actually have, like, made the text more personal. Like, oh, I know you're interested in blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Different. Or, like, we're friends. Yeah, and I'll be like, hey, I think Facebook's not sharing it. Hey, you liked my other stuff. Here you go. Or you wanted to know about this. There you go.
It just gets to be a lot of noise.
There's so much noise, and everybody has one, and everybody's doing it. So it's it's changed. Like, that site has changed a lot from when I first did my first one. It really has. Like, I noticed it on my second one that just things were different, you know? Like, I don't know. Things were different with the site, with Kickstarter, too.
With Kickstarter?
Yeah. Like, I thought it changed. I thought my experience changed, so. I'm hoping, you know. But I wasn't doing the webcomic on the second one. I was kind of like, it's just going to be a book. But on this one, it's kind of a whole new site and stuff. So hopefully it's gotten people into it and they'll check it out. Hopefully that I want them to feel like, you know, what they are. They're a part of it. So we're all.
Well, then what's your goal that you're setting?
4,000, which is the.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That's what I want, a safe, doable one. And then the stretch goal, I think, will be over 10 to get a hardcover.
Okay.
And that's a big stretch goal. If it happens, it happens. But I want people to be able to get the book, you know, in any format. So we shall see. 10 seems like an even number. I got to check with the printer to make sure that would cover it. Because you know the nightmare stories of being funded and then you can't. I've never had that happen to me. Never. But I've heard horror stories.
Yeah, I've heard bad stories.
Too. I've heard them get $100,000 and then they're bankrupt. I don't know how. Only in America can we do it.
Yeah, figure. So, are you going to be publicizing this then on, like, are you making separate accounts for the project?
I do a worm Twitter. No.
You could do a worm Twitter, like, you know.
Just sadness all day. That would probably be good, though.
Anxiety meme.
Yeah. The animated teasers will be sharing. People can share those. I started my YouTube page, which I think is HC Knoll. Everything should be HC Knoll.
Okay.
So HC Knoll on YouTube. You can see the animated trailers and some, drawing, you know, videos thanks to the iPad. They record you.
Cool.
And, we'll be doing that as far as viral on Instagram at Howie Knoll. I'll be posting a lot of making of art throughout May. Twitter, it's still going to be just HC Knoll. And I'll be sharing. I share every week a new anxiety, and I share, if somebody tweets me, I share their stuff. And you can also go to yourglassceiling.com to check out the breakthrough moments and send your own thing. And if you wanted to, you know, write me your story, you can. Because we're always looking for content, you know, and sharing. I just had my friend Pat, he wrote one, and it was really, really good. Talked about his experiences, because he's had way more medication, you know, prescribed to him than I have. But really interesting to see all about that, and he talked about how anxiety has affected his life and relationships. And that's bravery, man, you know? I mean, so giving people a chance to share that just on this thing I was like, oh, this project was worth it then. You know, already, this project's worth it. Just that
Oh, it is. Of course it is. And, you know, yeah, getting the book out is just a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a pretty bonus that everybody will enjoy. And it's just going to be really neat to have it, you know, to have it, like, physically and stuff. And there was an interesting thing. Speaking of planes, we were just on the plane, and a little girl was sitting next to my wife. Her mom was, you know, on the other side. They were divided by the aisle. But my wife was reading, like, Anne of Green Gables, right? And she goes, is that a real-life book?
Like she hadn't seen the book before.
They're all iPads, you know?
Oh my God.
So that's what I want this book to be, a real live book.
Aww.
Hopefully we can make that happen. We will have digital copies too.
I would have been like, here, smell it. Oh, smell what books best. Smell like.
I was like, oh my gosh. The kids.
They have book scented candles. I want some.
They don't smell like a burning book, right?
No, oh. I would hope not.
Do they have separate ones for that? Book burning candle.
Probably.
Book scented candle would be delightful.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, that sounds so neat.
Then they'll do the plastic toy smell. That's also what I want.
Oh, man, I got the cats a new stroller, speaking of plastic. And they love their strollers. And they do. And so, like, taking it out of the box, though, it is that such a plastic smell. It's like, oh, we got to air this out before they even jump in it.
That's the kind of stuff I love.
Yeah.
You just remember opening the package and you get that smell. So my book will have new book smell.
Yay, new book smell.
That's almost worth funding the campaign for, just to get that.
You'll have to have another unlockable goal and make, like, scratch and sniff. Like, what does anxiety smell like?
I think mine would smell good. Well, when he's in that rock star outfit. Not when it's... The worm would probably smell sad.
Yeah.
Ennui. What is ennui?
Yeah. I don't know. And it's probably different. Like, you know, like soil probably smells really good to some people.
That's true. Like, you could have the dirt smell. That was
like dirt
sticker. Dirt.
Dirt.
And we're going to have... Oh, another idea that we're playing with is pill bottles, but empty. Maybe filled with a little worm. Like a little cutout of him.
You can get like little mints.
Yeah, we got it. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Remnant, you know, or what? Something,
you can,
right?
I was going to say they make custom M&Ms yeah. now. You can actually get them like stamped with
the worm face. We can do yeah. that. Well, so you can get candy pills.
That's so cute.
We have to make it cute because it's ugly.
Because it's a, I mean, you have to be able to handle serious topics and in a way that's. You know, accessible and cathartic and, you know.
It's so brightly colored for dealing with anxiety, too.
It really is.
That's what I like. It's very exotic looking.
That bright blue. A lot of bright blue. But that's the hopeful part.
Yeah.
You know, so like 50 years from now when people are like analyzing your drawings, they're going to talk about this period of your artistic life and they're going to be trying to you know, figure out what you really meant.
Yeah, see if I can, they can find the hidden meanings.
Like, oh, why is he wearing black and red?
why is it blue? Why that blue?
Yes. And then decoding the hex decimal codes into something else.
Yeah, I've had a lot of stuff in there. I don't know if anybody can get it, but we'll see.
And it leads you on a journey through France.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You'll find the real island if you buy this book. You'll find the real island in the Pacific, and you can go. Actually,
there you go. That sounds good.
See who Jesus really was or something. Yeah.
Oh, Howie, I'm going to let you go and enjoy your birthday with your pug and your cake.
My cake and pug at the same time.
At the same time. And say hi to Shelley.
Thank you for spending my birthday with me.
I am delighted that you could spend your birthday with me and talk about such serious things with, you know, neither of us breaking down.
We didn't. Maybe we should do a middle of the Kickstarter one and you'll see me break down. We could Skype that.
Possible.
We can one-way Skype that so you can just watch me.
Oh, it'll just be recordings of your expressions as you're reading through comments or things.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Yeah, but if everybody... Yeah, I think I'm going to have early bird prizes because that's a big thing now. And I didn't do that before. You know, I've seen that where they have early bird things. So I'm playing with that. But if anybody has any ideas, they can contact me.
Cool. HCNOEL for those of you that need to look up Twitter and whatnot pages of Howie's information. It's usually HCNOEL.
Yes, yes. And if not, Howie Knoll, in case somebody stole my name. And also yourglassceiling.com for everything about Float.
And of course, don't forget to check out the Kickstarter during the month of May for Float. And as Howie said, follow him at HC Knoll on most places. You can follow me on Twitter at Elizabeth Amber, on Instagram if you want to see cat pictures at Amber Unmasked, and everything else is at amberunmasked.com. Please support the Patreon. It's patreon.com/AmberUnmasked.